My name is Mark Ramsey. Today is the beginning of a new study. We begin with the opening chapter and verses of the book of Romans. As we ready our hearts for the study of this book, Pastor John would like you to think about these important issues. The importance of the study of the book of Romans, the result of our studying the book, and the implications of the information of the study. Pastor John has a lot to share as we enter this book. I would pray that you jump into this wonderful book of doctrine as we strive to gain a better objective of what our Christian experience is all about. Enjoy the book of Romans, the book of doctrine. Here's Pastor John.
Romans. It's going to take a while. We are not going to run through this. We're going to walk. And as we walk through this, our lives change tremendously because everything changes as we look at this book and as we do the application. We may not take Sunday after Sunday in doing this because we may break away during special times when I have to speak with you pastorally or when there are special things that have to be addressed. But for the most part, we will, Lord willing, go through the entire book of Romans. I would ask of you, if you have a Bible, that you would read Romans chapter 1 at least once a week for this entire month. Become familiar with it as we go through it. There will be times or seasons when I will break away from Romans and Pastor Greg will take over one Sunday morning. There will be times when we get into the exciting part of this book, when we get into the doctrinal aspect, that Brother will be doing a message during the Sunday night lectures. We will continue as we go through this book, and we will allow not only the survey look as we walk through, but an applicational view of the book itself. I just like to call the book Romans, what it means to be established by God's grace. The Christian church today is not established by the grace of God, but another. And that's why the book will hold us captivated by its words. I was reading last night and I found that in my readings that in all of the books that the Apostle Paul ever wrote, that this one is the most extensive of all of his treaties. It is in this book that we find out what sanctification really means in the Christian experience, what justification is all about, what adoption means, God's role in the life of the Gentile as well as the Jew. It is in this book that we see the Apostle Paul really wrestle with the tensions of his own ethnic codes and breaks away and flies free as an eagle. It is in this book that you will hear about personal sin in your life and the encumbrances that it brings upon you, and you will never be the same as you live out the rest of your Christian experience. It is in this very difficult but important book of Romans that we find the essence of our Christian lives. It is in this book that will show you who you are and who you are not. And it will challenge you to not walk that Romans road, as I hear people. You see, you have a lot of Bible commentary. Let's walk the Roman road. No, I'm going to tell you to take a look at verses 1 through 7, basically verse 1 today, as we identify something here. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the scriptures concerning his son, who was born of the descendants of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. And the sentence hasn't even ended yet. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. A very long sentence and powerful. I have read of many Christian writers, and they write these little platitudes, these little sayings. Paul, in his very unique introduction, has given us, I guess, a bird's eye view of why God called him. But let's pause right now and take time out, and let's not look at Paul. First, let's look at others that were beyond Paul that were influenced by this magnificent book of Romans. If you ever did a personal study on great Christians in history past, you would obviously read from one called St. Augustine, or St. Augustine, if you will. And St. Augustine was a unique man because before he really came to the faith, he was vile in his sexual attractions. And while reading this book, he came upon Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, and we'll be doing a lot of switching, so you can turn there with me to read what St. Augustine read that changed his life. For Paul writes, and he says, "Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." Now listen to what Augustine wrote after having read this in the book of Romans. He says, "No further would I read, nor did I need, for instantly, as the sentence ended, by a light, as it were, or security infused into my heart, all the gloom of doubt vanished away." Augustine says, those verses transform my life. When we go through a book, we say, "Whew, he's finished." When you go through a book, if it doesn't catch you and make you feel like that, you haven't done the adequate study. There's another, the father of the Reformation movement, that ex-Catholic monk, Martin Luther. Upon his reading of the book, he wrote a powerful paragraph, and I'd like to share this with you. He said, "I grasp the truth of the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies us through faith." When Luther read the treatise, he says, "I grasp a truth that I've never grasped before. Me being a Catholic monk, I was justified by doing the works of the church, following the pontiff, following all of the laws, and I found from reading the book that I'm justified by faith. Thereupon," Luther says, "I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise." You don't feel like that after you've read the text. He says, upon reading the book, the doors were open and paradise was open. And he said, "The whole scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate," and you have to understand that, because it was the righteousness of a church that justified him, and the righteousness of God filled him with hate, now he says, "That's changed." Going through this book, when you read about God's righteousness and look at your unrighteousness, it changes the way you view the entire concept of your Christian life. And he goes on and says, "Now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love." Oh, we don't talk like that. Oh man, I felt highly convicted when John got through with his text. And I still don't like his style. No, you need to read the book. "And let it become inexpressibly sweet to you." This passage, Luther says, of Paul became to me a gateway to heaven. Many people, when they go through an entire book, these 16 extensive chapters, verse by verse, fall upon the spirit of calamity. They say, "Oh, when will it end?" Your mind needs to open up and your lives need to be transformed by what this book had intended to do. And it does not happen because we think too lightly of him. John Wesley, the great Protestant reformer also from the European market, from him we have our Wesleyan Church or the Methodist Church. And you have to realize that Wesley for years thought that he was saved. And upon his reading of the book, his mind was transformed. I'd like to share this with you, if I may. Many of you think that you are saved. By the time we complete this treatise, you will know that you are or you are not by how you respond to God's righteousness and his claims upon your life. John Wesley says, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. This is after he was preaching, after he was teaching, after he was ministering. He says, I felt my heart to come alive. There are many in the Christian church today, your hearts have not burned within you as he spoke to you, by the way. This book will do that. Wesley goes on and he says something else. He says, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and of death. Going through this book, you will know that you are saved. Going through this book, you will know what salvation is. Going through this book, you will know why Christianity exists. Going through this book will test your minds. And by the time you finish the book, you will never forget it. Ever. You will never forget it. And you will always be faithful to it. And then John Calvin, oh, we've heard about him. The predestined guy, the one that they attested an acronym to him called the TULIP. Oh, we theologues like to read about John Calvin, but when Calvin read the book of Romans, he came up with this wonderful statement. He says, when anyone gains a knowledge of this epistle, or this letter, or this book, he has an entrance open to him to all of the most hidden treasures of the scriptures. You see, that's why you come to worship. The scripture is a treasure chest opened, and what God does is he takes this marvelous book that this mighty man of mine penned. Peter could not write Romans. He couldn't write it. It had to be written by an ex-Pharisee. One who was groomed in the law. One who was schooled by Gamaliel. It had to be written by a man who had gone through the tension in his own life and knew that he had to drop that. That was superficial to come to that which was reality. It had to be written by a man that had the audacity to let himself to be taken in chains to the capital city of the universe at that time called Rome. Because he knew that if the word of God was spread from Rome and went out to the world, that the gospel would spread further. God had to use this ex-Pharisee, this ex-murderer, this ex-persecutor who literally breathed the blood of the Christian church as he slaughtered them, now to pen a book that justified our existence some 2,000 years after the fact. That's why I love this book. And that's why when I read about Paul, he is just more than a wimp who attempted to write. This man was brilliantly used by God, and God infused his mind to understand when God says, I called you from the foundation of the world. Statements that we use like that today bleed our minds, and we cannot comprehend the first time we sin because we think that we've lost our salvation. And my friends, by the time we get into Romans 7 through 11, you'll know that you can't lose that good stuff that he gives you called salvation. No. And that's a problem with the church. We don't know anything. And that's why we take our time and we go verse by verse. One called Coolidge wrote this. He says, I think St. Paul's epistle to the Romans is the most profound work in existence. When one theologue can look at this and says it is the most profound work that exists today, you need to study it. You need to study it. When he says it is profound, that means that it changes things. And the Word of God has no effect unless it changes the things in us. And that's what makes the book work for me. I recall while going through seminary, because I took Romans, I think that was from Mike Wilkins. And yes, it was. And he would tell us, have you read through the whole book? And you know, in seminary, you don't lie. When the professor asks you, have you read the book? You don't, And I recall when I first took it in the first week, you said, raise your hand if you read the book. I didn't lie. I didn't raise my hand. 16 chapters, difficult stuff. No, I didn't read that. I didn't read that. What I need to read that for, man? I got a Bible. I'm going to be living the rest of my life. What I need to do that for? And then when he, after he asked that question, and thank God I didn't raise my hand because he beginning to ask the guys, what is the profound lessons that you gained from the book? And when those brothers in seminary begin to disseminate their own private thoughts of what Paul was saying, I said, oh man, I went home and I turned off everything and I read it. And then I read it again. And I said, oh my God, who am I? A worm.